Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe as something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Opportunity to greet those around about you. shake their hand. Usher will be at the back of the offering plate and worship with your wallet as you pass by. As we sing, take opportunity to greet one another. Some high praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. By way of announcement, in case you were not here Sunday morning and you missed it, the men are winning. Woohoo! Go men. We are in the lead for the first week of Penny Wars that continues through Sunday. Regular scheduled services Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship service. Please be reminded there is no p.m. service this coming Sunday. It is Labor Day weekend. However, there is a Labor Day picnic. According to the announcement back there on the back table, Brother Spencer Underwood is hosting a party at his house, and there's a sign-up sheet for some side items, let you know what's on the main course, the times, address, all that good stuff is back there. We will put that information into our announcement lineup to go up on the screen as well, but just wanted to let you know that is happening Sunday afternoon, I think beginning at 4 o'clock, and so he invites you to come. Also, you might want to bring a lawn chair, have a good time therein. And I encourage you to go be a part of that. Other things happening, obviously, many of you know next week is a big week for Sandwich because it starts the Sandwich Fair. It starts on Wednesday, but you need to be here on Wednesday. But then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday have a ball. And then Sunday, you'd be back here in church on Sunday. But then 2 weeks from tonight, on the 13th, we are having brother and sister James Pace, who are missionaries to Europe, the Middle East, and specifically Austria. They are going to be here in service with us on Wednesday night, September the 13th. So I encourage you to be here, invite others to come and be a part of that special service happening 2 weeks from tonight. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you. Sister Robin. All right. Let's remember Nathan tonight, certainly. Yeah, Sister Joanne. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful report. Anybody else? Prayer request, Sister Pat. All right. All right. Certainly. Bebe. All right. Yes, certainly remember that situation there. Continue to remember Houston area that was affected by Hurricane Harvey. And my understanding is there's a possibility of more flooding as there's some rivers that still drain to that location where Harvey is still pouring rain. So continue to remember them in prayer. Anybody else? Brother Mike? All right. That's a work situation there, Sister Christy. All right, certainly. All right, yes. Brother Bill. Yes, continue to remember Brother Bill in prayer. They're still doing tests and trying to figure out what he's dealing with, but ultimately we know the great physician, the one who's able to heal, certainly. Sister Darlene? All right, yes, yeah. Brother Jay, you second that. All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move or in these situations, God, whether it be a healing of the body, God, restoration, God, of spirit, God, whatever the need is, we know that we can come to you. We can believe and trust in your power to work in us and through us, God. We pray that you would help us to ministers, God, or vessels of your choosing, God, to speak words of life and encouragement and help to stretch forth our hands to heal, God, to do what we can do, God, as ministers of your choosing, God, to help the situations that surround our lives, God, whether it be a work situation, God, we know that we can cry out unto you and depend upon you, God, to meet and supply all of our needs, God, for all those dealing, God, with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Lord, I pray that you would continue, God, to lift them up, restore, help, strengthen. God, we believe in your power to work and do wonderful things. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God. We bless your holy name, God. Over Brother Bill, God, we pray, God, that you would work, God, give the doctor's wisdom in dealing with the situation. God, heal his body, strengthen him, raise him up, God. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. We worship your precious name, God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Why don't we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are starting into a new study tonight. And I will tell you from the onset, it is something that I am endeavoring to implement in my own life. And I hope that being candid and transparent with you about the subject and what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, you will not take offense to, but you will understand that I am learning just as you are learning. We are on this journey together, but most importantly, we are on this journey with God. And the title of the study is Enjoying the Journey. Enjoying the Journey. And I have to admit and confess, and I'm sure that anybody in ministry any length of time, there are points and times in your walk and relationship with God where you're serving and you're doing, and you're doing your best to feel and have that sense of fulfillment and completion and satisfaction, and you struggle with that sometimes. And sometimes enjoying the journey and really looking at your life and God and your walk and relationship with God and finding sustenance and finding strength and finding help. Because there are some times when you are in a barren place and you are you're wandering through a wilderness, if you will, and you're dealing with struggles and those sort of things. And so I hope that what we talk about and what we discuss in these however many sessions we have, I hope that it brings to you some things that it's bringing to me in the sense of learning to enjoy the journey, learning to love in the midst of the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the mountaintops, the valleys, everything that is life. Time to weep, a time to mourn, a time to plant, a time to root up that which has been planted. All those things that are a part of our life in this journey and walking with Jesus, how we enjoy it, how we are to find joy and strength even when we feel dry and barren and we feel like that we're not maybe making the ground or doing what we feel we should be doing. And so I've taglined it this. It is an invitation to real relationship with God. Real relationship with God. Not a facade, not being fake, but being candid and transparent about who we are, about our struggles as individuals, about the society in which we live, about all those things we know God already knows that have to do with who we are, and in that same understanding and in that same sense, having a real relationship with God. A relationship where you and I are, in fact, real. Real about who we are. Real about our struggles, real about our uncertainties, real about our questions, real about our wonderings and our musings and all these things that God created us with all this ability. God created us with emotion. God created us with a mind to think and to wonder and to muse and to consider. And all those things we need to understand are a part of this journey. And how we can, in those things, enjoy the journey. I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture. It's found in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, maybe this is not you, but this is me. There are some times I read that scripture and I have trouble relating. Okay, well, even if you won't be candid in your response, I'll be candid in what I'm saying. There are some times when I struggle to relate with that scripture. There are some times in my walk and relationship with God, in my service unto God, where I don't feel that the burden is easy. Some of you, but hopefully you'll get more on board. And there's sometimes where I don't feel like I'm resting. Where there's anxiety and there's a stress and there's worry and I'm anxious about this and I want to feel like I'm excelling here and I feel like I'm failing here and I'm doing and so there are sometimes when I read passages like this and in my humanity I struggle to relate. So let's have some wonderings. Let's play some what ifs. What if we're talking about real relationship with God, what if we make relationship with God much harder than it should be? What if? What if we make relationship with God a lot harder than it should be? Say it with me. What if I can learn to be aware of God in the messy, the scary, the unknown, the tears, even in the not feeling good enough? What if I can be aware that He is even in all of that? When I'm scared or I'm uncertain, I feel inferior, I don't feel like I'm measuring up. What if I can be aware that God is in that? Some of you aren't convinced. What if I can get past a performance-based faith to an authentic faith in walking with God? See, this is huge. I told you I'm going to be candid, so let's just put it out there. We look at scriptures, and I understand we're created unto good works, and I understand that we show our faith by our works, but I think sometimes we get it backwards. Our performance should be faith-based. Our faith should not be performance-based. I'm going to say that again. Our performance should be faith-based, not our faith performance-based. In other words, the foundation of my performance should be my faith in God. It shouldn't be that my faith or the foundation of my faith is what I do or how I perform. Because if that's the way I feel, and let's just be honest, sometimes we do. We struggle with trying to perform. Trying to meet certain expectations that I don't believe God even puts upon us, we put on ourselves. And so we have this performance-based faith where we're serving and we're striving. And I'm all about serving and I'm all about doing good works. And I understand that. But I've got to be careful I don't get that out of balance. I have to be careful that my relationship with God is real. Even in my inabilities, even in my uncertainties, even in my failures, even in my inability to make even my own mark of success. And I've got to make sure that my faith is not performance-based. Because if my faith is performance-based, when I underperform, guess what happens? I deal with all kinds of doubt. What if I can stop trying to always play host to God and realize it is He who has invited me? What if, I'm going to say that again, what if I can stop trying to always play host to God and realize it is He who has invited me? What if traditions of men and rudiments of this world have robbed me of truly experiencing God as He intends? I'm going to take that a step further. What if some of church traditions, what if some rudiments that we have accepted have robbed us from really experiencing God as He would have us to experience Him? Oh, I'm going to put it out there. You know me. I'm very good. This is a journey that I'm walking, and I'm walking it with you. And there are some times when I look into the heavens and say, God, I need to know more. I need to feel more joy in this journey. I need to know that even in the uncertainties and even in those areas where I don't feel adequate and I feel inferior, even in those areas, you are there right beside me. What if we can learn He is weaving passion, pain, and grace so personally together in my life that it has to be journeyed with Him to really appreciate it? That He is the author and that He is weaving into my life, yes, pain, yes, passion, and certainly grace. And to really experience those things in life as God would have me to experience, the only way I can truly experience it is with Him. What if we can allow Him to lay out the dreams He placed in us in the way He would like? The way He wants it to happen. The way His will is, not mine. What if I can learn the more real I am with Jesus, the more real He becomes to me? I know. He said, man, you're awful heavy to begin with. Yeah, maybe so. But I'm talking about real relationship with God. I'm talking about a deep, sincere joy in the journey that is life in living for God. What if every day God invites us on an adventure with Him? Where I can find joy in the journey and where all that life has, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the mountaintops, the valleys, everything that is life, if I learn to be aware that God is in it, it will draw me closer to Him. I'm talking about real relationship with God. Real. Here's the central theme. Here's what I want to convey. Here's the focus thought, you might say, of this study. This is what I want to get across. Choosing to be real, authentic, and free. Choosing to be real, authentic, and free. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to put on this facade. I don't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. I don't have to pretend to be strong when I'm weak. And in that authenticity, in that realness, in that reality of who I am. Because let's just face it. Let's think about our culture. Let's think about our society. Is there anything more fake than reality TV? I'm sorry, but you think about our culture and how it's shaping us and how there's it's like if people truly lived their lives the way they posted things on social media, everybody would have a wonderful life. All these wonderful things. It's like there's almost they put out that there's this perfect existence. I realize it's a double-edged sword. I get all that. We've talked about that numerous times. I understand that when you look at society, that there is this certain expectation that is placed upon our lives, especially when we profess Christianity. And that somehow, here's the lie. That you have to be fake in order to be a Christian. That you can't be real about who you are and your struggles. And you can't be real about the things you deal with and the musings and the wonderings of your life. Because if you do so, then it calls into question your integrity. And it calls into question your character. And what you need to understand is that you can be real with God about all that stuff. And He'll never question your character. He'll never question you. He knows who you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. So in reality, God is truly the only one I can be real with. Say it with me. Here's what we got to learn. We got to learn how His manifestations may look different than my expectations. Learning how His manifestations, how He manifests Himself in my life is different than my expectations. Say it with me. There's a reason why. Anybody know what the number one relationship killer is? I'm talking about overall. I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking about friendship. I'm talking about relationship. Anybody know what the number one relationship killer is? Okay, negative communication. Anybody else? That is a result of this, but anybody else? Mistrust. Work. For the day? Lack of communication. Sister Davis. Unmet expectations. That is the number one relationship killer. Unmet or failed expectations. Number one relationship killer. Why? Because inauthenticity has a way of shaping our perceptions and often creates unreal expectations. Inauthenticity has a way of shaping our perception. And as a result, it produces or creates unreal expectations. And here is how it works. When expectations, unreal as they may be, are not met, disappointment ensues. Disappointment brings discouragement. Discouragement brings distance. And distance will ultimately bring disillusion. That's why unmet expectations are the number one relationship killer. Can I bring this to the church? Can I say I've been in ministry long enough to understand one of the greatest causes of backsliding are people and their unmet expectations about God, the people of God, the church, how it responds, how it treats us. The number one cause for backsliding is people and their unmet expectations. Stay with me. The fake it until you make it mentality robs us of a real relationship and leaves us settling for much less than God intends. Well, I just fake it until I make it. That's not God's intention. That will rob you from real relationship with Him. Inauthenticity, insincerity, those things are shadows. In Him, there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. You cannot get any more real than God. There is absolutely no insincerity or inauthenticity with God. He is as real. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is completely real. The study invites us into a path of real relationship where you can truly enjoy the journey. I can truly enjoy being a child of God. I can truly enjoy my service to God. I can truly enjoy my walk in relationship with God. I don't see it as a burden. His commandments are not grievous. I can look into His word and read love. I can understand that He has my best intentions at heart. He knows what's best for me. And I can truly enjoy my walk in relationship with God. Starts with the invitation. The invitation to let God host. Just come and be present. To let God host. See, this is, again, I told you I'm gonna be candid and transparent. This is where I think a lot of times we are missing it. This is where I think a lot of times that we fail. The reason why the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation like they should is because we are hosting the party. Because we are sending out the invitations and we are doing it and we're making all the preparations instead of getting alone with God in prayer, instead of having a relationship with God, instead of spending the time in His presence, we are in the programming mode and we are in the process mode and we are in the hosting mode and we're putting it all together and we're streaming the lights and we're putting the bunting out and we're to come. And the whole time the Lord is saying, whose party is this? Have you ever noticed the opposing perspective between when you host and when you just attend? See, everybody loves a good party. Well, that is unless you're hosting, because then it's a lot of work. If you're the one in charge of putting all the food out, you're the one in charge of making sure everything's clean, and you're the one in charge of cleaning the house and making sure everything's ready and nothing's misplaced and everything's as it should be and all the invitations were sent out right. If you're the one hosting the party, it's a little bit different. But man, when you're invited to attend the party and all I have to do is show up, you actually want me to come and be involved? You've gone to all this trouble and you put out this spread and you want me to be there? You've invited, you're hosting, and all I have to do is come and show up? All I have to do is be there? It's just my presence that you want? It's just me being there with you. That's your angle. When are we going to learn that it's His party?
It is his doing. He is the host. Come unto me. Come whomsoever will. He's the host. He's the one doing the inviting. I am the invitee. I am the one being invited. But yet we work so hard at hosting, don't we? Let me let you in on a little bit from a pastor perspective or a preacher perspective. There's a lot of times that pastors love to go to conferences and camp meetings. You want to know why? Because they ain't hosting. Because they can just attend. You want to know how many preachers I've asked to preach, knowing they were coming to visit? They said, "Well, you know, Pastor Wells, I'd be honored to, but you know what? I could just really use a day off." It's not that they don't love to minister the word. It's not that they don't relish the opportunity to speak the word. It's just that sometimes they need to play attendee and not host. Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Everybody say it was her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about. Everybody say she was distracted. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're careful, and you're troubled about many things. Now, make no mistake, Martha is serving. She's serving. It's her house. Jesus is coming to her house. She's encumbered about with much serving, the Bible says. And she comes to him and says, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm doing all this work? Don't you care that I'm whirling about? I'm doing the flight of the bumblebee around this house, and I'm trying to make sure everything's right. And here Mary sits at your feet, and she's not doing anything." Martha the host. Or hostess, if you want to be, I guess, completely correct. "Perhaps if I work hard enough and keep busy enough and serve with enough vigor and do everything that I can to make sure Jesus knows I appreciate his being here." Oh, it's about to get real. If I serve, if I do this, if I do that. I'm not against serving. Please understand where I'm coming from. I'm not against doing the work of the Lord. I'm not against serving in the kingdom. But sometimes we got to get things in their proper perspective. And sometimes we need to understand that we can become encumbered about with much serving. That we can be doing this and doing that, and I'm over here, and I'm working, and I'm striving. I want to please you, Jesus. I want you to know how welcome you are, and we want to make sure you know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Make sure that's in G. Martha, the host. Martha was cumbered about or distracted with much serving. "Lord, do you not care that I'm doing all the serving?" Look at her. She goes to him. She goes to Jesus and says, "Doth thou not care? Don't you care that I'm doing all this? Don't you care that I'm about, I'm serving, I'm doing all this stuff, and Mary sits her at your feet and she's not lifted a finger to serve? Don't you care?" Others need to get involved and help me host. Do they now? Others need to get involved. Come on, Jesus, say something. Say something to Mary. Address her and tell her she needs to get in here in the kitchen with me. Say something to her, Jesus. But look who Jesus replies to. He doesn't say anything to Mary. He looks at Martha and says, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. You're trying to play host, but that's my role. You're cumbered about with much serving, and what you really need to understand is that it's better that you sit here at my feet and hear my word. One thing is needful. Martha, it's not that what you're doing is bad, it's just that there is something better. Martha, it's not that what you're doing is bad, there's just a better part. Some of y'all, it's not that serving God is bad. It's not that doing all this stuff and striving and being part of good works, that's not bad. I'm not in any way, shape, or form demeaning your work and your effort and your service of God. But what I'm simply saying is that sometimes you need to recognize this. Sometimes we are so distracted serving in the kingdom that we fail to heed an invitation to sit with the King. Sometimes we are so distracted and we are serving and we are doing and we're trying to make sure we're going to pick out the right song and we're trying to make sure we're going to do this and we're trying to make sure this is going to be all right and everything's going to be right and the decorations are going to be just right and everything's going to be set up just right. And I'm not against that kind of stuff and I'm not demeaning that stuff, but don't ever let your service for the kingdom negate an invitation to sit with the King. Martha, Martha, it's good what you're doing, but there's something better. And Mary has chosen the better part. And this will not be taken away from her. Mary, the attendee, she sat at his feet and heard his word. Mary chose the good part. What Martha was doing wasn't bad. However, what Mary was doing was better. Sitting at his feet, giving him all my attention, and hearing his every word is better than serving while distracted, getting only bits and pieces. I'm sure Martha heard some things. I'm sure Martha, point in time, was in earshot. But Mary was at his feet, and she heard every word. Martha, she was serving, she was doing good, but in her service, she was distracted. And Mary gave him all of her attention. It may have been Martha's house, but Jesus was the true host, and Mary accepted the invitation. We'll say that again. It might have been Martha's house, but Jesus was the true host. And Mary accepted the invitation. So that's how the journey begins. The journey begins by you and I accepting the invitation. Come unto me. Stop playing host all the time and let me host. I just want you to come. I know you're serving and I know you're doing all this stuff and that's not bad, but there's a better part. Come here and sit at my feet. His invitation awaits our response. That's what this teaching is about. Will we respond? Will we say yes to the invitation of God to be real? Will we say yes to bring all of our baggage and all of our stuff and all of our insecurities and all of our inferiorities and all of the things that we strive and we struggle and we serve and we do? Are we willing to come to Him and be real and authentic and say, Lord, I just want to sit at your feet for a while? Come with your fears, your questions, your broken dreams, your imperfections, your fragile expectations, your uncertainties. Come. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And guess what? He's desirous to share. Share what? Share about me. I've said this for many years, and I don't even think I truly understand all the implications of if He knows me better than I know myself, I can only truly know me by knowing God. He created me. He created this brain. He created me, and I have these musings, and I have these considerations, and I have these uncertainties, and I have these things in my life. And yes, I have these fears, and I have these doubts. And I have these struggles. And guess what? He already knows. But guess what? Even though He knows, He didn't start packing up the silverware. He didn't take the bunting down. He didn't decide the streamers were too good for you. He didn't decide to put away the china and bring out the paper plates. No, what He's doing, He's even now, even in all of our uncertainties, even in all of our fears and our doubts, even in all that is we, who we are, He still says, come on. Come on. But I'm struggling here. Come on. But I'm going through this, and I got this baggage here, and I'm dealing with this, and I'm wrestling with this and this temptation. Come on. Don't you recognize that I'm here to help? Don't you understand? You're getting distracted, and you're serving, and you're doing all this, and that's all well and good, but there's some time where you need to come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay your yoke upon. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly at heart. You need to understand. I extended this invitation because I want to host a party for you, and the only thing you have to do is show up. Just come. Jesus looked at the disciples. He said, with great desire have I desired to eat the supper with you. If ever there was a friend, Jesus was a friend. If ever there was someone who was real and authentic and wasn't fake in any way, Jesus was real and authentic. And I got a newsflash for you. Because I've heard it said, and you got to be careful. Peter spent 3.5 years with him. The first time he was challenged, he cursed him. Oh, but that changed at Pentecost. Did it? Did it? Did Peter's impetuousness change because he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Survey the scriptures. Find out for yourself. It's still Peter who is standing face to face with Paul, and they're arguing over what the Gentiles should be doing in relation to ceremonial law. It's Peter who has to have vision on the housetop, that even though he said, and to whomsoever will, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, Peter was still in his stubbornness, had to get a vision from God. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to make you understand that Peter, even after Pentecost, had struggles. He was human. Even after receiving the power of the Holy Ghost in his life, there was still some parts about Peter that God was working on. And yes, it is true. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. But it's hard for him to work on me like he wants when I'm always working in other areas and doing other things and working, 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 working. Stop! Come. I know you got uncertainties. I know you got issues. I know you got baggage. Come. I've said it many times before. Where in the Bible do we find that God only wants the best part of us? He wants all of us. Every part of us. To all that is you, God extends the invitation. Come. All that is you, come. Yeah, but I've got some unrighteous. Come. Yeah, but come. Okay. Yes. What will be your SVP? Responsible play. What will it be? Will you say, no, I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know that being that real and that authentic and bringing all that stuff is really what I need to do right now. I think maybe I just keep it arm's length away. Or will I accept the invitation and will I say, yes. Yes, I want to enjoy the journey. Yes. Please understand, I am not demeaning your walk in relationship with God. I am not saying you don't have a real relationship with God. I'm just saying this is where God is leading me and God is directing my own life. And so I would be remiss as a shepherd. I didn't say, hey, let's all join in this journey together. I want to enjoy the journey. I know the journey will include uncomfortable situations. Frantic schedules, mundane routines, self-doubts, challenging conversations, pain, loneliness, tension, grief, mountaintops and valleys, fertile fields and dry, barren deserts. But in all this, I want to be real. I want to be authentic. And I want to be free. I want to experience real relationship with God the way He intended. And maybe, just maybe, the way He intended is a little bit different than some of my expectations. Maybe, just maybe, the way God is going to manifest Himself in my life, even in the most minute detail, even in the little things, even in the dark corners, just like in the celebratory spaces that are well lit, even in all those places, I can learn to find God and find joy the journey. In closing, you can stand. I was thinking about the events that unfolded in the Houston area. I thought how that please understand that I'm not in any way glorifying disaster. They are experiencing, some are saying, what they call catastrophic floods. Much more than the great 100-year mark. But I thought about this. As I, like you, have seen posts and newscasts and social media, it's amazing how that something like this will kind of put things in perspective. Is it not amazing how when something like this causes people to stop and really look and see that it didn't matter? It's amazing how that many of the posts I saw, people were commenting how that a white man was carrying an Oriental woman, and then a black man was carrying two white kids, and they were talking. And I thought to myself, isn't that the way it should be? It's almost as if it takes a disaster for us to get our head on straight, for us to start really focusing on what really matters, and it's lives. And when property's damaged and things are destroyed and people don't have anything to turn to, all the things are gone, guess what they turn to? Each other. Maybe it takes me getting to the end of me before I look heavenward and say, okay, God, you take it from here. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I know the study tonight, God, has been passionate. Lord, but I feel, God, this is where you're leading. God, I feel so sure, God, that I'm being ushered by your Spirit, God, to talk along these lines. Lord, I want to enjoy the journey. I want to experience all that you have for me in life, God. In my parenting, Lord, in my life as a husband, Lord, I want to enjoy all that is life. I want to see you in the smallest of details and know your hand is there leading, even when I walk through barren deserts and even when I struggle to find relevance and success, Lord, to know that you're there, even there. Help me, God, properly convey and impart into your people what you have placed in me. As we study your word together and see your will and your way and strive for a real relationship with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.